On today's episode, Kelly and I are going to get into what the hell is going on with the Houston Rockets.
If the offense is triangular, it's something like a prism. Put you on that lockdown defense like a prison. Hakeem was the dream, the MVPs must be his children. They won 22 games in a row, that's a rhythm. Triple-double Russ, man, I need you to acknowledge. He don't do this for the optics, man, he do this for the Rockets.
Welcome to a new episode of Brody and the Beard on the Athletic Podcast Network. I'm your host, Mo DeKeel. With me, as always, is our man on the ground. Man, he's had a busy week. He's a little bit tired. I don't know. I might get him snapping at me. I don't know. But it's a man on the ground, Kelly Eco. Kelly, how are you doing?
Mo, what's going on, my brother? How you doing?
I'm good, man. I'm good. I'm just happy anytime I get to jump on the call with you, Kelly.
Same.
Yeah. You've been busy though, man. I mean, like, let's just kind of line it up. It's funny. Like earlier, I think over the weekend, I was like, yo, we should pod this week and let's talk about like Steven Silas coming in
and the press conference and all that stuff.
And you wrote a lot of great things on there. And I'm like, this is perfect. Like, let's get into the Steven Silas era. And right. Then it was like, all right, no, we can't. no. And we were gonna pod yesterday, and then it was like, right. no, we can't do that. We have to wait a day. We have to pod the next day because it's gonna get even crazier. And it's looking pretty bleak right now in Houston Rockets land.
Yeah, I think it's one of those situations in Houston where things will get worse before they can get better. Obviously, the writing has kind of been on the wall just about the kind of season it's been, at least behind, you know, closed doors, behind the scenes. But there was hope, you know, that with Steven Silas coming in, that with Rafael Stone coming in, that there was going to be, you know, at least time to kind of run it back, if that makes sense. Obviously, last season, they flamed out in the second round again. But, you know, anytime there's a new coach who brings in new ideas, you know, new GM, a new face in the room, you at least have, you know, optimism as a franchise. But the Westbrook news, it came like a brick through a glass window. So,
and for those of you who have not been paying attention, Russell Westbrook has demanded a trade that's coming from a report from Shams Charanian. Shams, you, and our favorite, Sam Amick, teamed up to write an article to dive into everything and sort of go through what's going on with the Rockets. And just, folks, if you're not already a subscriber to The Athletic, I don't know how much longer you can wait, but now's the time to jump in. And you can read all of Kelly's stuff. I mean, Kelly, honestly, this whole month you've been killing it with your trade articles, with your your coverage of the whole Steven Silas hiring, to the press conference, to everything, right, and to now this. So folks, don't miss out. theathletic.com/BrodyandTheBeard. Don't miss out. This is the perfect time to jump. I don't know how long that's gonna last, folks. You better jump in before that stuff gets too crazy. And you're gonna miss out on a great opportunity. But Kelly, man, we're in a little bit of trouble here on the show.
Are we gonna have to? Well, we're gonna have to.
I mean, if they trade Brody, are we
gonna change the name of the podcast?
You know, and I don't know what we're supposed to do at that point. You know, I think just screw it, double down, and just go Brody and Brody. Forget it. Let's go double down.
Or the original name I had in my head, MVP in a pod.
I'm the MVP.
What? No.
Sorry.
It was originally going to be, it was originally going to be, because, you know, Russ and James had both won MVPs. So it was going to be MVPs in the pod, you know, with the a play on the word peas in the pod, but, you know.
We can't even do that anymore.
I think we should open up to the listeners, you know.
Folks,
send in your best podcast names.
Go ahead and throw out your podcast names. I got a few people already tweeting at me, a few of them. Yeah. I don't know if you saw the Shut Up and Listen pod.
I saw that. That's hilarious. That's hilarious.
That one made me laugh out loud. You know, but let's get into it here. The real details of this all. And let's start with the Westbrook situation. Like, he's demanding a trade. He's unhappy. He feels like there's no real accountability. It sounds like he's not happy with how the team plays. Like, it sounds like he wants kind of a bigger role. And this was, you know, just a week ago, there were rumors, right, of the, you know, the Clippers. And I think it was the Knicks kind of kicking the tires a little bit on Westbrook. And, you know, now it's like he's just full on like, hey, get me out of here. You wrote the article with those guys. What's some of the insight you have there of Westbrook's unhappiness?
It stems from a lack of accountability like that you spoke to. And ultimately, the bigger umbrella, I guess what you would call it, is the culture in Houston. It's been described as toxic. It's been described as a mess. It's been described as just a lot of moving pieces. And there's no real, I guess, structure. Part of it comes down from, you know, the star-centric, you know, treatment. You know, we saw in the past players have left because unhappiness with their roles, unhappiness with their inconsistent playing time. Even this season, you know, players like Austin Rivers, players like Eric Gordon, Daniel House, those guys have been given inconsistencies, you know, and what's been expected of them and what they've been asked to do within the offense. But more so, I think if you combine the pressure, the yearly pressure of trying to win a championship and how they've come up short every time, you know, that tends to lead to a, you know, me thing instead of a we thing. And I think it'll only get worse before it gets better. Now that everything's coming out, people are, you know, going to get hip to it now. But this has been a problem since, you know, going back to two seasons ago, game six, like with Chris Paul. Like, it's not a new thing in Houston. Like, this has been happening for a while now. And throughout the whole D'Antoni Morey era, you know, despite the success that they had, you know, it does come at a cost. And part of successful team building, you know, is the people aspect, the culture aspect, the accountability aspect. And I think the Rockets kind of got really short-sighted in terms of, you know, put everything on the line to win a championship, you know, despite, you know, the kind of mess, you know, in the background. And now you see Russell Westbrook, who for a long time has played in a system in Oklahoma City where they were champion for their culture, where they're champion for, you know, the environment around the players and the team first atmosphere. He didn't experience that in year one of Houston. And given his age, his injury history, you know, and father time, and, you know, like I said, the championship and legacy, he wants out.
Well, are you surprised that he wants out? Is this a shocking?
Kind of. No, it's a bit of both. On one hand, I was surprised given the fact that the Rockets essentially mortgaged their whole future for him. They changed their whole entire offensive scheme for him. This is one of James' best friends for years. And all year long we heard, you know, why he came to Houston, you know, just playing in a spread system, open space. And for a while he was playing the best basketball of his career. Then the hiatus happened, another injury happened, COVID happened, and you saw his playoff performance in the bubble. It wasn't the greatest. So, yeah, I was expecting under a new head coach, Steven Silas, who had spoken about, you know, kind of switching things up, you know, putting the ball more in Russ's hands and getting more actions, playing faster. Those all spoke to things that Russ likes to do. So I was of the impression that they were going to give it, you know, at least see how it goes. But, you know, things change quickly in the NBA.
Yeah.
And today.
Go ahead. Sorry.
Go ahead.
Well, yeah. I mean, it's interesting because they made this whole big deal a year ago. Or when the trade happened, it feels like 12 years ago at this point. But, you know, this whole thing of like, we're going to make this work and things like that, you know, and you know me, Kelly, I'm a Debbie Downer. I was from the beginning, like, I don't think this is going to work. I don't think this is really going to work out. I'm not sure if this is a great fit, all that stuff. You know, when they went to the super small ball, we saw like Russ play probably his best basketball of his career. You know, the most efficient, maybe if not the best, but definitely the most efficient. And they went to great lengths to make him, to be able to play this way so that he can do all that. Some of that was they still wanted to try to find a big, they couldn't, but they're really trying to make that effort. And it's just a surprise to me. And I'm a bit kind of like looking back at everything. I'm just like, man, you really should have just tried to find a way to stay the course with Chris Paul,
of course, yeah.
And Capella, and find a way to make these two work. Cause those were they were a hamstring injury away, 3 years right. ago from
right.
basically winning the series and going to the finals. And at that point, I think most people had them over the Cavs to win the finals that year. And, the next year was a bad year. Chris was injured and stuff. And there was a lot of things there, but they just kind of were like, screw it, we're going a whole different direction. And now it just feels like they're in a worse off position than where they were a year ago. And the thing that kind of hurts a little bit too, it's like you gave up so much, not just for Westbrook, but you gave up a ton for Covington. You're in this situation now where you don't have a draft pick, you don't have a lot of flexibility, and you have a lot of unhappy guys, and I'm not even sure what Westbrook can even get you in the trade market. Like, you have any sense of what they're kind of looking for? If they're, first off, are they even entertaining it? Are the Rockets going like, okay, Russ, we'll work with you?
That's the thing. At this point, I don't think Houston is actively, shopping him. That's not how these things work.
All right.
When you saw the Anthony Davis situation where the Pelicans said, okay, you want out, we're still not just kind of shop you. If something comes and blows us away, then yeah, we'll consider it. But I don't think the Rockets are trying to shop him, given, like I said, everything they've given up to get him and the moves they've made with the coaching hire to kind of position themselves for a run again next season. So I don't think they're shopping him. But if you do eventually, check on the market, what are you looking for? Are you trying to find, do you want to move James back to the full-time point guard? Do you want to find, a guard that doesn't require the ball as much as Westbrook, like a less usage guy who can, spot up at times, play off the ball, a combo guard? There are different things that you need to look for. And that, a lot of it will come down to what, Silas wants to run, because the whole thing we heard during the press conference between Rafael Stone and Steven Silas is they're a team and they're going to work together to figure out how best to optimize the roster they have now and how best to put pieces around that roster. So if Russ is indeed out, I expect those guys to come together to find, a suitable solution.
Yeah, and it'll be a very interesting thing to see what they get back, because it's not like you're getting a young stud back. And it's not to say that this isn't like Russ is trash or anything like that. He's getting old, and he's got, I think, $131 million left on his contract over the next 3 years. Like, that's difficult to swallow for a team. And, there is interest. We saw, reports from Shams, that the Charlotte Hornets are interested. I mean, it's going to be teams like that, I think, that would have interest in Russ. I don't think there's a place for him on a contending team right now. I don't look at a contending team going like, hey, they're a Westbrook piece away from being a potential champion. And I think that's kind of the situation. And then that brings this question to me, Kelly. And I'm gonna ask you two questions here.
Right.
What is Harden's stance right now? Like, where is he on all this? I mean, this is his buddy he's asking to move. And depending on what they bring back, I mean, that's probably going to change, right?
Looking for an assist with your credit card but can't get a hold of anyone? Luckily, with 24/7 U.S.-based live customer service from Discover, everyone has the option to talk to a real person anytime, day or night. Yep, you heard that right. You can talk to a real human in customer service any time. Sounds like a real game changer if you ask us. Make the right call and get the service that you deserve with Discover. Limitations apply. See terms at discover.com/creditcard.
If they move Russ, I mean,
right as of now, to your first question, he's He's locked in for the season, as we reported last night. As far as what they bring back, I think you kind of have to evaluate, you know, further down the line. You know, if I'm sure there's a world where, you know, this chance might be slim, but I'm sure there's a world somewhere where the Rockets have some big powwow. You know, they sit Silas, Russ, Harden in the room, and they kind of figure this shit out. But you know, what does Harden want?
Right.
You know, he's been there. He's been there almost a decade now.
And the way I look at it, for me, Kelly, is just like, this is kind of, once you move Russ, I don't think you're getting a pieces. I think you're going to get a couple of pieces. I don't think you're getting any that makes you a contender. You know, I think almost you might take a step back as a
step
team.
Back. Right.
And if that happens, I wonder if this becomes time to, you know, sort of be a fire sale, so to speak, you know.
And that was their biggest worry whenever they brought in Steven Silas and Stone. They were, you know, the senior guys in the team were thinking, you know, is this a rebuild? And I wrote this in the story, but that's a big reason why John Lucas was not only a retained but a promoted, but so he could serve as the kind of a mediator, you know, between both sides and say, you know, I'm still here, and we're still going to contend for a championship, and that stance hasn't wavered. But it's a doubt and it's a concern that it surely exists in the minds of many. It's not just, you know, James and Russ.
Yeah, I mean, you look, we've talked about it before. You know, PJ Tucker's unhappy, you know, right, and he's looking for an extension. And I don't know, right, if they're looking to give it to him. You know, they have themselves kind of hamstrung a little bit with the Eric Gordon extension that Daryl Morey gave.
No pun intended.
Yes. you know, they're in a tough spot there. And I think it's just, right, you know, they're in this whole scenario where it's like, I mean, what I'm worried about is this kind of being the beginning of the end for them, you know, and,
right,
you know, or maybe not even the beginning of the end as much as like almost the end of the end, you know, like we've hit the end of the road. Cause you know, for everything we talk about, you know, part of this, you know, Tillman Fertitta has to eat some of this, you know, some of this is on his plate, you know, constant, I'm not ducking the tax.
I mean, it's more than some, like if you're going to,
I was trying to be polite. They got, you know, but it's a lot. It's a whole ton. And I think, right, a lot of this stems from like, this is a guy that's constantly trying to duck the tax and telling us he's not, but he's doing, all of his actions say he is. And so now it becomes a challenging situation going forward. And, you know, I don't know what position these guys are in. And I think Russ and Harden are right to question, you know, are we a team that's really going to contend? Like, I never felt like this team was a contender this year. Even when they went small ball and looked pretty good, I still didn't think, right, it was going to work out in the playoffs. And, you know, let's be honest, besides winning game one against the Lakers, they really didn't look like they belonged in the same floor with them.
No, they looked thoroughly outmatched from, you know, point A to point Z.
Yeah, and I just think that's the problem. And I think it's going to be a very interesting scenario how they kind of play this. I mean, for me, I think honestly the sell that, you know, Rafael Stone and Steven Silas have to be is like, yo, Russ, give us this season. Let us figure this out. Like, you know, I think there's a lot of interesting things here. You know, I am very excited about the Silas hiring. I think this is a coach who's been in the league for 20 years as an assistant coach, worked as a advanced scout, worked his whole way up, has the family lineage under Paul Silas, has done the job a little bit for Stephen Clifford when Clifford had to step away in Charlotte, you know, for health reasons, and did all right. And the reviews from that 21 game run were very high. You know, they went 9 and 12 in that situation, but people were very impressed by him and what he had done. And, you know, when you look at what he did in Dallas, you know, like he was one of the major architects for that offense. And I think, you know, everything he said in that press conference, I don't know if you saw those tweets, Kelly, me responding to everything going like, yes, this is what I've been asking for. More optionality, more variations to the offense and things like that. I think they need to really kind of, they got to sell this now to Russ and James going like, this is the course we're on.
Yeah. I think the only problem with that is because there's such a short window for the offseason between now and next season. It's kind of hard to, like, if you had an elaborate plan, I think Jovan wrote this, and it was, he was talking about something else with the Clippers, but it also applies to here. Like, if you have this long, elaborate plan to get better, to improve things, you need time. You only have, what, 3.5 weeks or something like that before opening tip.
All right.
For next season. So if you already have trouble at home, you have to worry about fixing that and then worry about implementing. Like, it's twofold. So maybe the best thing is to cut bait and, like, cut and run. I don't know. Like, if Russ has clearly put his chips on the table and said, I'm out of here, you don't have much time to dwell on that or try to fix things.
Yeah, and I just don't think you'd get a lot back.
That's the problem. Like, he's 31. He's awfully injured. He's the non-shooting threat. He has to come into a situation where he's afforded as much space as possible. And looking at the landscape, I'm not sure what team wants to play like that. Or what, like, I couldn't see a team. Maybe – I can't think. Maybe Orlando? But even Orlando, like, I don't even see a suitable package there. Like, what they would want to mortgage, unless they're just, you know, content with putting on several guys. But the market, to me, doesn't look that robust. Now, things might change around close to the draft. But right now, I just don't see a suitable package that will equal giving up Chris Paul and the four first. That's what I'm saying. Like, you have to equate it to what they gave up for him. So that's the problem.
I think we're just at the point now, and I kind of can't believe I'm saying it. If Russ is literally standing pat on the I demand to be traded. I will not suit up until I get traded. Now, he hasn't said that part, but if he stands on this kind of hill and is demanding this trade over and over again, I almost think you have to start. I think you do have to do the fire sale, Kelly. I think you just have to be like, we're trading everything.
Yeah, because those assets look way less attractive without those guys around it. So,
you know, I think you have to start making moves. You know, you got to try to flip Robert Covington for something, you know, for a young player and a pick. Like, he's going to have value. Robert Covington will have a lot of value. And I think a lot of teams should be calling and asking about him, and if they're trading for Westbrook, should maybe try to see if they can pry him away. I think, you know, there's going to be a lot of interesting things, but I think, you know, Covington, Tucker, Gordon, like, those are all guys I think, you know, might be able to bring you back stuff. I don't know how much or what, but you might have to just go into fire sale and everything must go. And that, I think that even puts James Harden on the table.
Yeah, at that point, you have to look at everything. Like, you wouldn't be doing your due diligence if you didn't, you know, look at the roster top to bottom. So,
yeah, I mean, if you're doing a fire sale, I think that's your best asset is James Harden. And here's the other thing. I don't know where you can trade James. You know, he's got the same contract as Russ, right? $131 million over the next few years. And I think, you know, that's where it kind of gets interesting. And I don't know if it's not like, again, I don't know if you can trade him to a contender because he himself requires so much usage. And if he's going to not change how he plays and wants the ball as much as he does, it's difficult to place him on a contender, right? So, like, it's going to be a really fascinating thing. I feel bad for Steven Silas because I feel like, you know what he looks like? He looks like the meme where Donald Glover opens up the door and the holding the pizza and the whole room's on fire. Like, I kind of just feel like he just sort of stepped into a hornet's nest and now they're going to be in a whole rebuild situation.
Would you take Harden to Boston?
For what am I getting back?
off the top of my head, I want to say.
If I'm Boston, I probably don't. For Boston, to me, I think the thing for me about the Boston Celtics is I just think they're a big man away. And maybe not even like a huge,
a crazy big man.
Right. Yeah. Just like if they can sign Derek Favors or something. Like, I don't think they're very far from a championship. And to me, like, that's swinging to hey, let's go get James Harden. Is, I don't know necessarily, maybe they're closer to the championship if they get James Harden, but I feel like what they have now and in the Eastern Conference, I don't think they need to make as big of a move or as splashy as a move to get him. Now, maybe it's, you know, I don't know. And I'm just drawing out stuff. So, and people, we're literally brainstorming as we're talking. So, you know, would you do John Wall and a young guy? And a draft pick from Washington for Harden?
For Russ?
For Harden.
Oh, for Harden. I mean, that depends on what you get back for Russ, too.
Well, I'm just saying, let's just start at the, like,
I mean, that's not crazy.
You know, John Wall has
probably asked. They probably ask for more than that. Nah, Houston would ask for more than that.
Yeah, and maybe they get it. You know, it's you know, young stud and future draft picks. I mean, part of it too is they got to start kind of reloading that asset cupboard of draft picks, you know, and I think that's something that they might need to start looking at. And
right.
Man, it just gets tough. Like, there's just tough scenarios of to like where you put Harden.
It's so weird talking about this now when 5 months ago, people were talking about, you know, the Rockets making a splash.
Making a run in the finals, the dark horse to get to the finals and stuff, all that. Yeah, I mean, we're
hey, stuff changes so fast in the NBA.
Man, listen, 2020 has been a hell of a year. Across the board with everything. Yep. And so it's just like, okay, we're in this weird scenario. You know, for me, honestly, Kelly, the way I sort of look at it is, if I had to make a prediction, I think they trade Russ. I think the Knicks are would be begging for a guy like Westbrook. You know, I think they make a move like that. I think they slowly kind of start sending guys off. And I think by the end of next season, Harden Harden plays somewhere else the start of next season, the 21-22 season. I think he's not wearing a Rockets uniform.
Should next season?
Yeah.
Like this one coming up or the
one after? 21-22.
Oh, okay.
I just think we're just in the.
I think so too.
I think we're in the final days of Rome falling, if you can call it Rome.
No, it's not Rome.
I tried to get poetic. See, I tried. You know, every now and then I try, and it doesn't always work out. You know, you got to shoot those shots sometimes, though, Kelly. See where it lands.
Do you?
No, not always. Not on a podcast. I guess not. Way to make me feel bad.
Miss you, buddy.
Oh, I miss you too, man. Hey, before we go, though, let's talk a little bit about the Steven Silas hiring itself. Because you mentioned it, and whether he ends up playing the role that he was going to play or not, I think it's extremely important that they kept John Lucas, you know, and promoted him as the top dog. Even if those guys are gone, I just think he's a valuable asset for Coach Silas kind of moving forward. You know, a guy who this is his first year will be his first full year as an NBA head coach and things. And having a guy like Coach Lucas, who you can kind of lean on a little bit, I think that was a real important thing. And I was happy to see that.
Yeah. I think he's somebody who understands every player on that roster and understands how to deal with everybody individually. And that's what his value is to the team. So even if he's not a Steven Silas, who's a offensive savant or somebody who can come in and change some things, you still need that guy as your number two to just, and it's not a traditional number two where he also has to be almost like a therapist, for, you know, the roster, because last season was something and they went through a lot. So I do think that his job will become even more important in the coming season.
Yeah, I think he's going to be extremely important. And I think this is something that I'm happy to see him, you know, stick with the Rockets. I'm also, again, like I said, I'm excited for Steven Silas.
Yeah, because Steven Silas, like, I think to your point, what you said, the biggest thing why people are excited is because he offers the hope of, you know, versatility. He's not just going to be rigid and stick to one scheme and one style of play. You want to have a lot of tools in the shed. So I think Rockets fans should be excited to see kind of what he can do. Now, obviously, it's going to be much easier if you have your best players with you. But, you know, he's been able to work with Dallas, other teams around the NBA for almost two decades. So there's a lot of experience there. So I think it's going to be pretty interesting to see how he transitions to, you know, the front of the bench.
I think they got a good coach. And whichever team that he ends up, whoever's on the team, you know, this year and the years in the future, I think they got a good coach to lead them forward. And we'll see. I mean, we'll see how this whole thing plays out. Kelly, I mean, who knows if this is still going to be the Brody and the Beard podcast the next time we pod.
It's called the Kelly and Mo Show.
The Kelly. Why you go first? Why can't it be the Mo and Kelly Show?
Because it rhymes. Because it rhymes the end. Mo Show.
The Mo and Kelly Show works also.
It does. It doesn't matter the order. I'm just saying.
I'm just messing around. It could be the Kelly and Mo Show. We know you're the star. We know everybody loves you, Kelly. Everybody wants more of the turtleneck shorty.
Hey, if Russell Westbrook goes to the Knicks, one of my good friends, Francis, he's a Knicks. He's a Knicks diehard. I don't know why, but we'll get into that later. But he says he's going to blame me. He says it's all my fault. So
we might have to get him on. Also, by the way, folks, we got to shout out our guy, Marcus Allen Thompson, who gave you a shout out in a song.
Hey, hey, man, that song is crazy.
You know, I saw that and listen, man, that Marcus, I'm waiting, man. Mo rhymes with a lot of things.
Nah. it's not for everybody, right? But shout out Marcus. Go stream his song now on Tidal. So give me a shout out.
gives Kelly a shout out. Kelly's getting too big time for us, folks. I mean, we're gonna get to the point we might not be able to get him on his own podcast.
I'm never gonna be too big, man.
Well, anything else you want to touch on? What do you have coming out this week? Anything more?
So next week is free agency week, so expect a lot of content about who's staying, who's going. I'm going to have a Rockets big board of targets. Serge Ibaka, those guys are on there. Known as Noel. You know, people like that. Christian Wood. There's going to be a lot of names on that list, so stay on the lookout for that.
All right. Well, for Kelly Eco, for super producer Andrew Schlecht sitting in the background making us sound better, and me, Mo DeKeel, we out.